Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Now it's time to be riveted to your radio and be listening to Judge Wild. He's single, he's rich, and he's good looking. And what a voice he has. Listen to Judge talking with you for the next hour. Judge, you are on the air.
Welcome to the show, folks. We are having a good time. I was told by one of the participants this evening that if I don't smile, they will not be on the show with us this evening. This is an exciting show, though, for me. I get to tell an entire town how they can improve. It is a positive experience. But you know, when you're amongst friends, when you're trying to get your friend to see the light of their own ways to make them better in the world, you put a lot of energy into it and you tell them straight out what is wrong with them. Have you ever had a chance to tell an entire town what is wrong with them, to call them out by their town's name, to call out people in that town who you may or may not have fondness for, but you, a lot of them you love? And some of them, you just want them to do better because they're in positions where the town is counting on them to do better. And sometimes, folks, the masses aren't always right. Sometimes the business leaders in a community are not always right. And you have to call people out specifically. This is not a our infomercial, politics infomercial, but just reading off a bunch of... Looks like Wild Card dropped off. Call back in, Wild Card. For some reason, she was having trouble maintaining her line. And I had clicked her in, and evidently there was a problem. But, folks, we will carry the show with or without the intelligent ladies on the show. Let me tell you who they might be. Wild Card had called in, and she was there, and now she's not. And then also Nurse Flo. Nurse Flo is the regular intelligent lady on the show, and she has to do something for her child this evening, and she might come in about 20 to 25. Looks like we have Wild Card back on. Let's see. Let's wait for her mic to get active. Wild Card, are you having trouble hearing us this evening?
I am doing good. How are you?
You're doing well. You're doing well. I know you were. Were you privately schooled or were you publicly schooled? Why would you say you are doing good?
Because I was privately schooled, and doing good means I'm doing better than well.
No, that's not the way the rules work. Anyway, we have a lot to cover this evening, and I tell you, Wild Card, you'll get times to say things, and you can throw something in now and then, but be careful, because I'm trying to get 12 pages of notes in 1 hour. And you know I can talk on 2 pages of notes for an entire hour. This is not a show that fills time. There's a lot of shows out there that are filling 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and they're just killing time. This is a useful show, and I really appreciated you, Wild Card, in the previous show and your contributions, and we'll continue that excellent radio awareness that you showed and then that insightfulness that you contributed. So I am glad you're ready to go. What do you think? You live outside of Wichita, Kansas is going to be the target, so to speak, of my caring this evening. And you have a foot probably in Wichita now and then, and so you have been around, and maybe it's not just Wichita. Maybe there's a few communities around it as well. The point, folks, is not just to pick on Wichita, Kansas. Wichita, Kansas is probably makes the majority of mistakes that a town can make. The people make the majority of attitude type of mistakes that a community can make. And so it's a good town to make an example of, and parts of it can be in your town. Matter of fact, parts of who we improve in this show, give suggestions to in Wichita, Kansas, is exactly what you see in your town, or a portion of it, and maybe some of it is you, because the people are the town. And if you're putting up with your town the way it is, if you're not speaking out to make it differently, if you run for school boards and school councils and city councils, and you start blending in with them instead of making a change, then you are the problem too. So let's not have this denial this evening. Let's be open-minded, and let's think about ourselves, and let's think about the people we're around. And if you are so perfect, if you are so Judge Wild-like that you don't need to change, you still need to get out there with some bravery amongst your friends and be the voice that says something differently, that doesn't just follow within a role model or a way the momentum has been going in your town. We are going to call out some names, folks. We're going to call out some names of some politicians. We're going to call out some names of some TV media and some radio media. Now, I tell you, like I said, these are a lot of notes. And a lot of the radio people I'm going to call out on, I tell you, Ted Woodward, going to say something good about you. Steve McIntosh, not so much. You know, Brad Streeter, you're in there. So, you know, we'll get out there. And talked about you fellas, and maybe Susan Peters and Nita Cochran and a few other folks and a few of the powers that be, Nola Folston and all that. But let's see how we get there, because I've already killed 6 minutes, wild card. Let me hear your voice again.
I'm here, and I'm thinking the weather guy. Who's Leon? Leon. Are you going to do Leon?
I don't do
Smithers.
Guys.
Leon Smithers. Yeah, that guy.
I don't want the town of Wichita, Kansas, to give up, and I don't want anyone in any other town to give up. That's the deal here. We're just going to talk this. I like the DMV downtown. The DMV, go. I don't mail in my registration for my vehicles. I go down there. I show my insurance. I sit in line, take the number. I enjoy going down to on Murdoch, right? Isn't that on Murdoch? And the parking is atrocious. I mean, that's a big word. It's terrible parking, and it's just lousy. But I like going down there. There's a cultural aspect of it that I really enjoy. So most people don't like DMV. I am one of the people who see the good in things, and I see that DMV experience as a fun thing for me. I like to talk a little bit with the people there. Appreciate the folks who go down there to get their vehicles done. And I also like going to the polls. I like going to the voting polls, the political polls, to go vote for who I'm going to vote for, whether they're judges or congressmen, state senate, mayors, all that good stuff. I enjoy going to the polls. Some places do not have polls, believe it or not. You have to mail it in or take it down to a central office, a central government office, and hand it in. So those are some good things, and I'm telling you, folks, if you already felt squeamish by how I introduced this show, I understand that you love Wichita. Some of you think that you came from another place that was a lot worse, and so now in Wichita, it's golden. It's all wonderful, and that is not the way to ever live your life, is it, Wildcard?
No, and the traffic is horrible. And the construction, oh my gosh, can they, plan that a little better? I don't know.
So wherever you came from and came to Wichita and you think it's wonderful, there are some changes you should be making as well if you want it to even be better. But I'm telling you, folks, you cannot compare Wichita, Kansas, to places that are worse than Wichita, Kansas, to justify leaving Wichita, Kansas the way it is. It has some improving to do. And, you know, tell you what, this is the deal. I mean, I'm going to call out names in the show, but I have to start with the people. I told you this is the people in this town they just have to get better. And there's a problem. This whole family values thing, most people don't know what it is. Most people don't know what it means. And we're not going to do this whole show on family values. We're going to give you the concepts. We're going to straighten you out. We're going to move on to other subjects. I could do several hours on this topic and how you go crazy. But this living for your kids is not a virtue. It is not a community virtue to hold up and love and to hold and to say we are great and wonderful and this is a destination place to come. Because, you know, living for your kids is teaching your kids the very wrong thing to do in life.
Right.
You know, your kid should not be something that you gave up your entire adult life, your interest, your pursuits to do. The problem Wichita, Kansas has is that it cheerleads each other, pats each other on the back, whether it's school boards, whether it's city councils, whoever has the ear of the people is encouraging this myth that thing for your kids is a healthy thing and a healthy thing for a community. It is a destructive thing for your community. All it creates is a community of dogs. That's right. We talked about this on the show a lot, of dogs having baby dogs called puppies, and those puppies just being raised by the dogs to have more puppies. And it is just a cycle of emptiness. It is a cycle of primitiveness. There's nothing there. I tell you, folks, if you live for your kids, your community will be destroyed from the inside out. Adults will not live like adults. Adults will just be living as surrogates, puppets for their children.
Applebee's.
And that is all those children are going to learn, and when they grow up, that's all they will do. And you have no growth. You have no real sophistication. You have no talents that are being pursued. And when I talk about talents, I talk about real talents, real giving, real meaning in life. And you don't do it there in Wichita, Kansas. Not how you. Yeah, are there a couple of folks out there? Yeah, but if I talk about the couple of folks, other people who are in denial will say, yeah, that's me too. It is not you too. That's why we're not talking about the very few in your town. We are talking about the rest of you, a lot of you, the ones who make the town have this vibration of living for your kids. And we'll get specific about how that's a pain in the butt and it destroys your community. So let's have this, you know, and well, obviously, number one, if you're putting your kids in gymnastics and football instead of teaching them as parents, instead of teaching them about real talents, how about how many hours, wild card, a week, how many hours do you think these parents have their kids in gymnastics, extracurriculars at school, some music lessons, football, basketball, other just waste, peewee baseball or whatever that is, bitty basketball, all those things. How many hours a week do you think these kids are spending in those activities?
Oh, at least 10 or 12 hours extra a week, other than studying. I mean, this is extra, extra.
I am glad you said it, not me, because that's a good number. I'll go ahead and accept that number, okay? And how many hours, gosh, how many hours do you think these kids should be spending at a nursing home doing something in volunteer, not being paid, at a nursing home? How many, shouldn't we be seeing these kids in a nursing home? Shouldn't we see 4 or 5 of them an evening in any nursing home in town?
Of course, other than the once every 6 months that they go as a group and sing carols. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't we be seeing these kids in Kids Helping Kids tutoring programs? Kids Helping Kids, wouldn't that be great? How many hours a week do you think they should be doing that? Probably 2 or 3. Probably 1 or 2 a week in a nursing home.
Yeah.
Probably 1 or 2 delivering food to the shut-ins, the elderly. Probably.
Right. Meals on wheels. Absolutely. They want to drive.
Where is it in that a town can call themselves a town of good people when they're not even putting their kids' time to good use? When they're living for their kids' wants instead of community needs. This is sick, people. For you to think you're so great, this is like putting a ton of makeup on in Fox News, you know, where they're turning up
a
normal, decent-looking lady that they have on there, and you can see that they're clowned makeup. And to be on there, CNN's probably done. The guys, community. You're trashing your community by raising your kids in leisure and recreation. That is why your town is going to heck.
In a handbasket.
I had to choke back another word so hard just to get out heck instead of the other word.
Ooh.
I need a drink of water.
And there were hockey sticks involved, and they're on strike. So, yeah. Ooh. Yikes.
I have in my notes, Wildcard, about the singing at Christmas thing, about the 1 or 2 things that the parents have themselves do a year in the community and call themselves a good person. one or two things that they have their kids do in the community, or maybe the school has them do one or two good things a year, and they call that a good person. When you set the standards for your children and for yourself so extremely pathetically low, your town becomes an extremely pathetically low town. And when you have all that extra time that you aren't spending being a good person, you are looking for something else to do. And that is why you are in all the meaningless, shallow, pathetic little, I don't know whether it's arts or music or whether it's going to movies and a dinner is a focus in your life. But if that's the focus in your life, your town is not going to be worth anything when two or three generations get that inculcated into their little brains that that's all life is. You live for your kids and giving them what they want instead of teaching them by giving them only what they need, and then you think your town is some glorious place to raise children when you are failing your children. Your children are failing. You don't have to go to Ninth and Grove. You could just go to your house. Your middle class, your upper middle class house, that is where the failure in your town is happening. Yeah, let the cops take care of Ninth and Grove. You take care of your living room. Put your kids in it. And I don't mean just for Netflix. I don't mean just to entertain them. Put your kids at your dinner table. And I don't mean when they float through after practice, after band practice, after gymnastics, whatever. I don't mean them floating through the kitchen to grab a bite to eat. I mean sit them down and have that hour and a half at your dinner table and another hour in the living room. Talk to your kids. Teach them things. Figure out their talents, their real meaningful talents, and get them out in the community so your community can reap the benefits of 4, 5, or 6 hours of your kids' time every week. Man, you know, Wildcard, the folks listening to this are going, well, what do you do? Well, what do you do? Be friends with Judge Wild on Facebook. Go look at Blog Talk Radio, the archive of shows. You want me to brag on myself for another full hour? I do it. I've done it. I've done it as an instructional
True.
Thing. For
yes. Me. Yeah, you have. Yep.
I give more to your kids in the school system than you give them in education at home. And I'm not a teacher. I'm a volunteer. I give more to your grandparents and your great-grandparents at the nursing homes than you give your elderly mother and father who's in a nursing home.
Probably.
Hundreds of hours of volunteer work in your community, plus, I do the clowning, Be Good the Clown. Go look for that. That's me. I'm giving to your kids.
Cute as a bug, too, by the way.
Say what?
Cute as a bug, too, by the way.
Cute as a bug and a rug and a bug.
Be Good. Where is he? Where is he? Where is that man?
And we'll talk about it later. And we'll talk about it later. And see, I'm smiling for you. I know.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're loving it. Woohoo.
Loving it. All our meds are good. So what the problem is, folks, is you're going, and we'll talk about it later, that's where school funding comes in. You have all these expectations that instead of a school being a focused place of learning, it is an extension of entertainment and recreation and leisure, and you want the taxpayers to pay for it. And we're going to talk about the school board, and we'll talk about Lynn Rogers, we'll talk about maybe Carl Peter John, and we'll talk about Lenora Nolan.
Peter John, I'd give that name up. Okay.
And I go, I've talk about that later, psych councils. I've led these school psych councils. Come on, people. I know what I'm talking about. If you can't hang with me, you might as well go cry in your closet because you're leading the charge of a town going downhill.
Wow.
Rich Walmarts, poor Walmarts. That's all I have to put on the paper. I didn't have to put any other notes on it. Rich Walmarts and poor Walmarts. Your rich kids are stupid. They're lazy. They're unhelpful. All they do is point. You ask them something at a store, the rich Walmarts, where the rich kids couldn't get the cool job at the mall, so they're working at the Walmart in the community because it's sort of okay, and the parents are making them work, and they're going there and working, but you've screwed them up so badly in your parenting that now you're trying to get them to work at a Walmart or anywhere else. And I'm telling you, when I walk into a rich Walmart in Wichita, Kansas, you have the most pathetic, unfriendly kids that I've ever experienced anywhere on this planet.
Clueless. They don't know what they're doing. That's why they're unfriendly.
They don't know what service is. They don't have anything in the heart that has them help others. My kid's good, and they're smart, and they help people at church, and they do that. I'm talking about the majority of kids out there and the majority of those kids' time and how much of an attitude they're using during that time. And I'm telling you, folks, I've played with your kids, so to speak. I've asked for something and I've had them point, and I asked them, "Well, come show me where it is. Well, come help me. Well, what's the difference between this and that?" And your kid was in agony, trying to provide basic customer service to a person who was encouraging them and trying to mentor them, even coax them into customer service. I'm telling you, the poor Walmarts in Wichita are excellent. The people who come from the neighborhoods, who walk to the poor Walmart, who are working there, are
breeding grounds.
Wonderful, wonderful kids who are helpful and useful and enjoy the being able to have someone walk up to them, ask them something, they're glad to be of use to somebody. And your rich kids don't even strive, don't have a desire to be useful to anybody. This is your town. This is not everywhere. Don't tell me New York City has more rude people. I don't believe you. I think you need to start cleaning up at home, Wichita, Kansas. You start cleaning up your kids.
Wow.
You haven't given them a solid core of caring for other people. You haven't sort of like, I'll fit it in now and then when I care about people. When I feel like it, when I'm not having a bad day, and I have lots of bad days as your kid in Wichita, lots of bad days. And so when I don't feel like it, I don't do anything nice for other people. I don't talk to them nice. I don't put on a pleasant demeanor for folks. I have it a bad day, and it's all about me. That is your kid in Wichita, Kansas. You teach them all the shallow things in life because your life is shallow, because your parents let you get away with being meaningless and shallow and thinking the movies and American Idol and Dancing with the Stars is a big event, that football games are a big event, that they have to. They're have-tos in life. They are not have-tos in life.
Nope.
And you teach them this prom is something, and giving prom dresses to the poor is a great and wonderful thing. It's not.
Oh, my goodness.
You're dragging down the poor by involving them in your prom. You're teaching your kids shallow, meaningless things, and they're going to not know how to go beyond what you did in life, beyond your angst, your stress. Bring it on, yourself, and then blame the world. Choose to live a certain place and then complain about the traffic. We'll move to a different place. We want to live here because all of it, everyone's in kids in football here and gymnastics and this and that, and the auditorium church is right here and all the move. you've trapped yourself into a place that's a piece of destructive material for your kids, and then that's going to multiply generation after generation, and then you wonder why your town is shallow.
Amen.
And you have to create things to be excited about. You don't even just do it to your kids. You start grabbing animals. Somehow there's this fad in Wichita, Kansas, that you have to have a pet that you treat like a human, and they can't act like an animal. They have to be on a leash. Let's face it, folks. If you have a pet on a leash, they're not yours. You trapped it. You're closing it in. You're pushing it down into a tiny little box in life where you say what goes, and the animal is just supposed to pretend to go along with it all to make you happy. You're not doing anything loving for the animal just because it's in the house that you're paying for the heat. or just because you paid for the food, or just because you paid for a sweater for it and you put it on, or that you take it to a Sedgwick County park for a wolf stock. That is the most pathetic collection of human beings on this earth, that on your Saturday or your sweater, you are going
to
go take an animal that you trapped, that you are trying to make into your social friend, and you take it to be around other people with the same illness. And then the media trumps it up, and every, you know, it's sick, people. It is not charming, and it's not cute. It is abuse, and we all know it. And it isn't the way you would treat your wife. It isn't the way tie up your kids. You know, but you think this pet thing is so darn cute,
I'm sure.
And evidently your psyche is so damn darn down. It's so down low.
Wow.
That you can't even. Oh, that was kind of hot. That was pretty good. But anyway, you made me smile. You cracked me up.
Wow. So, okay, good. That's
you'd be
good.
Better off getting Cabbage Patch dolls and loving them, and teddy bears and loving them, because you're not doing animals any favor by making them live like not an animal. A non-animal, not an animal, unlike an animal, sure. So, hey, that's like...
Or is that like not people or sort of people or kind of people?
Yeah, these are probably the same uppity people who complain about a circus and how they treat an elephant or a lion or something like that, and then they take their dog or cat, the wolf stock on a leash and shove it in the car and all this, gosh.
I think there's a movie for that.
Sedgwick County Park. This is the same attitude that the witch talk. You know, I'm going to talk about the media people and all that. I don't know. We're almost a half hour done with this show, and I'm on page 3, and we have 12 pages. We may have
really?
To do the
page
rest
3?
Of the show.
And we got,
yeah,
like, what? Wait.
Eating squirrels.
Hold on.
Eating squirrels. Yeah.
Nine more pages. Not, okay. Yeah. We did the math, right?
Way to go. Way to go. Someone did the math for the folks of which
Whoa.
Doc
I get a
you.
Star. I get a star. I get the gold star because I did the math.
You're probably more literate than the mayor. Okay. So feeding squirrels, and we'll get to that. I'm gonna name that. I'm going to call that out a little
okay.
later in the show. Or if
okay.
we have to spill over to another hour next show, okay. Well, give me some airtime here. You're not Nurse Flo. Who are you? Oh, wild card. Feeding squirrels. Guys,
I am your
you
bosom
have,
buddy.
Hey, when you have a Sedgwick County, when you have a Sedgwick County park that is beautiful, when you have the Sedgwick County park that has 4-mile round-trip bicycle, rollerblade, walking, jogging, all of that, and people, the regulars of the park, know how to use that park. They use one half of the path. They use the right side of the path. People coming the other way use the other side of the path. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It works. The regulars enjoy being away from the regular part of the city. They enjoy the air. They enjoy even seeing the squirrels off to the side. And what do you do? What do you idiots do in Sedgwick County Park? You go where that tree is, a line is on the west side, and running north and south, and you drop peanuts, and you sit on the path with peanuts in your hand, trying to get the squirrels to come to you. You leave peanuts and corn all over the path. So that what happens, you have 15, 20, even 25 squirrels along a stretch, a 50-foot, 75-foot stretch of that path, and bicyclists are coming along, and the squirrels are in danger, and the bicyclists are in danger. Little kids are in danger while they're bicycling through there. You have the runners who are trying not to step on a darn squirrel because you taught the squirrels to be on a path, and the squirrels don't need to be on it. That's how thoughtless, idiotic, selfish, self-centered, that you people in Wichita, Kansas are. And there's more of you. I have more examples.
Wow, more examples. Okay, let's
the charities go. Who use that park. The cystic fibrosis. I will remember this day forever and ever how rude, how arrogant, how entitled every individual acts and feels and believes in their heart in Wichita, Kansas. And a bunch of them were in that cystic fibrosis walk. And the regulars coming from the other direction couldn't get by them on the path. Couldn't get by them. They had they're teaching their kids to be rude. They were teaching their kids to mouth off to the regulars. To make remarks to the regulars who are just trying to use their part of the path like they do on every other Saturday or Sunday morning, just trying to use the wonderful park that the taxpayers paid for, but some charity wants to have an event and they want to take over the entire park, the entire path. They want to walk all the way across the path. They think they have to walk shoulder to shoulder with their friend in this cystic fibrosis walk, and they are rude. If you can't walk side by side because you're only on that half of the path, too bad. Walk behind each other. If you want to have coffee later at a coffee shop and have a chit-chat, go do it. But when you're using a public path like that, I don't care what permit you have. I don't care how much you paid for that permit. The city should not allow you to do it. And if the city
is there that
wide? If the city can't come up with a solution, then you just don't have, just don't allow the permits. If the city can't come up with a park for the cystic fibrosis people to walk through, or any other charity, I told you I'm calling out names. I know it's other charities. You know what
these
folks do.
Cystic fibrosis, they probably can't go that far anyway, right?
You're going to crack me up.
I'm just saying.
You're just saying. But we love the charities. I've given hundreds of hours a year to charities. I give thousands of dollars to charities. This is not an anti-charity thing. This is a Wichita masses attitude, and it's middle class. It's upper middle class. It creeps, and it is sloughs all around throughout that society of Wichita, Kansas, and that you have to start changing it around, folks. You have to start drawing the line. You can't start compromising on everything until you have nothing left of that town. Nothing that's wholesome and good about that town because you compromised it away. You're not telling your bad folks that they're bad folks. You're not in their face to tell them to quit it. And then you are the problem, and the next generation is the problem. When you have charities painting arrows and lines with spray paint on things, that's called graffiti. That's called desecrating. I don't know. Is that a bad word? That's called vandalism. That's called vandalism.
It's art. It's backwards art.
It's arrow. Let me keep going. There's arrows on the ground. There's arrows on the ground that are there for years after you have painted them on, so for your walkers and your runners and your whatever from your charity, whatever it is, to follow, and then it stays there.
Challenging.
People, even when you've painted on the grass, it stays there. It doesn't just poof away the next day just because you went home to go to sleep in your bed. It is still there. And the people who enjoy the park, enjoy nature, actually enjoy the squirrels when they're off to the side. Enjoy, I've seen a red fox there. I've seen deer in there. Folks.
Could be confusing.
You have treasures and you trash them. Where does that attitude come from? If the kids invented it, then why as adults do you allow it? Why don't you squash the kids' attitude about it? You don't, because you have that attitude. You are the ones who are spray painting, except for Candace and Ashley. Candace and Ashley in Wichita, Kansas, I'm talking to you on the west side of town. You paint your name on the bridge along 21st Street that goes from the Sedgwick County Extension Office, now whatever it is called, back into the Sedgwick County Park. You paint it in bright fluorescent. Candace and Ashley rule. That's the attitude of your kids, Wichita, Kansas. You're raising brats, and the brats are just like you. If you don't keep track of your kids because your kids got some B's in school, you have 3 B's and 2 C's, and so you think they're wonderful kids, and you don't keep track of them, then I tell you what, your town is going down. You have to start keeping track of your kids. They have to be at your dinner table. They have to be at your breakfast table. They have to be there on the weekend being bored in your yard. I'm sorry. It's your yard.
Mowing the lawn.
It's your kid. Teach them how to entertain themselves in good, healthy ways, how to pursue their talents, how to learn things that are useful and meaningful. And maybe Candace and Ashley wouldn't be such jerks to vandalize Sedgwick County Park. You know, even if someone goes out there and tries to spray paint gray to match the asphalt in the park, it doesn't match. It's still vandalism. It's still graffiti. It doesn't work. Come up with signs. Put signs out there, whatever, folks. These are your kids. They're impressionable. It's your fault when they do this stuff. It's not your kids' fault. Don't say, well, I punished them. It was their fault, and then I punished them. Evidently, you're not punishing yourself enough. Maybe you shouldn't be going to dinner and a movie. Maybe you shouldn't be enjoying any recreation and leisure until you have your kids properly taught.
It was silent protest.
You say you want to send your kids to school to have a coach teach them life? Where else are they going to learn how to get along? Where else are they going to learn how to be teammates? Where else are they going to learn how to do discipline? It starts with you at home, and it ends with you at home. It isn't for a coach in a public school paid for by public funds to teach your kid what you should be teaching them at your house. And I would say, oh, the poor kids. Well, their poor kids are bad because the poor parents are bad, and that's why the parents are poor, because they're bad people, so they don't get good jobs, because we don't get bad people good jobs, therefore the kids are poor, and that's why they are bad. And that's, no, it's you middle class, it's you upper middle class people who I'm talking about. You have the recreation, and you have the extra money, you have it to give. You have it.
They have a private education.
Let's put it this way: you have it to pay your bills. You can get rid of some of your bills and pay attention to your kids. Here we go. Here we go, folks. We have to go to the big chalet, arts, big sports, concerts. I mean, that's all the shallow stuff. And if that's what you teach your kids, you're not getting anywhere. You know, the small town wholesomeness, folks. The small town wholesomeness. This is what they like to do, is get up in front of the microphone, the leaders of the community, and they like to get on there, and they like to say, we are the wonderful city in the middle of the country, Midwest. Well, you're not even Midwest. Look at a map. Midwest is somewhere out west. You're in the central. So how can you be the middle of west when you're not even west? So anyway, start with that. Start with your own education. But anyway, you get up there and you say, oh, we have such a wonderful small town out here. People move here. Atmosphere.
That would be geography. Yeah.
And then you want to carry that as some romantic, nostalgic attitude about your city. You want to claim to be such a sweet place, a special place away from New York City or away from L.A. And you're losing that town wholesomeness by wanting to be a big town, by pointing at everything that's out there in the big towns and say, we're going to bring that to Wichita, so we are more sophisticated. We're going to put art all around our city and pay for it from public funds, or have it be subsidized somehow by public workers and city workers and whatever. And we're going to do this so that we can be more sophisticated in culture like the big cities. Don't you know that small town wholesomeness is a culture? It is culture. Culture is Culture is what a town is made up of their activities, of their interests. And in this case, Wichita could stay a wholesome town. A wholesome town is their culture. You don't need to ruin it with your hobbies. You want to be a rich Wichitan snob and say, well, Wichita needs more culture. Culture. We need to have wine parties, and we need to have art in the streets and force it on everyone, have the public take care of it. And, you know, it's like, no. Make up your mind. If you want to be real, a real, genuine, you know, front, you know, there's front, I wrote this, here's this other post-it note, just laying here. I'm a family room person. I'm a person that has my door open to people just come walk in and sit in the family room and be part of the family. I'm a family room person. In Wichita, you upper middle class folks are a front room person. You're a fake. You're a front. You're just the surface. You are front room. You invite people into your front room, and they sit on the pretty couch, and they have the nice glass. And I tell you what, folks, it's not magic. I have all that, too.
Going up the stairs, that's the kind of person I am.
I'm single, rich, and good-looking. Don't tell me that I'm jealous of you. I have what you have, and I just don't treat it the same way you do. I don't embrace it as something golden, glorious, and an end goal in life. It isn't what makes me sleep well at night. what I've done for you kids, what I do for your kids, what I do for your elderly, what I do in your community for the folks that really need it is how I sleep well at night.
That and a nice comfy bed.
My bed is like 30 years old. It is one. It is comfy.
Let's not go there.
I'm telling you, folks.
Oh, no, I don't think we need to go there.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. But I'm telling you, folks, you are the tipping point. And how you raise your kids is the tipping point for your entire city. Wow, this is perfect timing. We're going to start talking about the media elite a little bit. We're going to talk about the TV media. Then we're going to talk about the politicians, and that might take us all the way to the end, the last 20 minutes, which means then the next show we'll talk about schools and money in Wichita. We'll talk about the divorced women dating in Wichita. We'll talk about the auditorium churches versus the traditional churches in Wichita. Wichita, Kansas, for the people who are listening. It's not Wichita Falls. We're talking about Texas. We're talking about Wichita, Kansas. And the next show, we'll have to talk about how wonderful Ted Woodward is and some coaching.
How great
for,
women are.
And some coaching for Steve McIntosh. We'll talk about Brad Streeter a little bit. We'll talk about those boring Saturday morning radio shows. Oh, what else will we talk about? So we'll have the next show. And then community planning. What you talking about?
12 pages. I'm sure we could probably figure something out.
Excuse me. We'll talk about the Wichita community planning throughout Wichita and what they should do to make their city successful and what their strength is and all that. So let's finish off this show with the media elite, the politicians, and the police. And, boy, it's going to take a lot. And we're going to click in Nurse Flo. She must be to a place where she can settle in, and she has a good, clear audio, a silent background. And so here we go. Come on in, Nurse Flo. Hey, Nurse Flo, how are you doing?
Good. How's things in the Pacific Northwest?
Everything's wonderful in life. And, Wichita, Kansas has just been taking a beating. We talked deeply about their attitude and the generations of the attitude. So you'll just have to listen online to Blog Talk Radio and catch up on tonight's show. But we're going to talk about the media elite and politicians and police. And we're going to ask a favor of Wildcard. She's been contributing awesomely. She's on. But with the last 18 minutes, I'm going to have to book it. Here we go. We're going to name some names, and I want to make sure to name them, do it correctly, and put it all in the proper context, because we're not out to hurt anyone, but we are out to help improve some folks. Susan Peters. I don't know what you folks see in Susan Peters. I am not impressed. I've never been impressed. I have a problem with pushing all that attitude that I talked about in the first 40 minutes of this show in any way, shape, or form, especially through the media. And when I see those kind of characteristics popping out from these folks on TV media in Wichita, it angers me to the point of wanting to make an improvement in the town, make an improvement at that level. The face of Wichita, let's face it, no pun intended, that the TV anchors are just TV anchors. They're not idols. They're not personalities. They're not someone to look up to. They're not anything to follow. They are delivering to you some information, and that is about all that they are. Hopefully, that when they go about around town and they have maybe spouses, or they may have family members who are active in the business community or some other leadership in Wichita, have some influence, that they still keep a proper focus on what perspective of what their job is. It's a little bit of just sitting at a desk and talking. I know that journalism is supposed to be something big, but if you're just a utility player, if you're just delivering the news, then keep your egos in check. And the problem is, sometimes folks in Wichita think that if something isn't happening to them, then it's okay. And when the tornado hit last April, people die. Did people die? People's homes, hundreds of homes were out, right? I mean, we're gone. We're destroyed. There's nothing there. And it's nothing to be thankful for. There's nothing about a tornado to be thankful for. This comparison attitude that Wichitans have comes out through their media folks, through the ones who live it, who are living their lives the way the typical Wichita, a middle class, upper middle class Wichita lives. And they voice it. They can't help it. It's part of them. It's who they are. It's how they were raised and how they're raising their children. And that we've already covered how sick that is, and yet your town goes downhill because of that. And when Susan Peters says along the lines that, well, hey, phew, you know, it could have been worse, you know, kind of thing. Well, for the people who are still standing outside and their homes are destroyed, it is worse. It isn't could have been worse. It is worse. It is bad. It is a mistake, okay? And when a person is up and it's 2 or 3 in the morning and then and they've been on the air for a long time and they say something like that, when you get criticized for it the next day or the day after in a clever way, which Judge Wild did, instead of cake on your side, the catchphrase that that Judge came up with was cake on her side. Because it was a statement about her that I didn't appreciate hearing, and not that I was fine, I was okay, but I was up till 2 or 3 in the morning watching all the news and catching everything because I didn't feel everything could have been worse. I felt it was bad enough and that those people had it bad enough. And now when you put it out on in a clever way out on Facebook, then Susan Peters gets defensive about it. You would think a professional would say, hey, gosh gee, I made a mistake. I did, you know. Instead of coming out with your defensive reasons for why you might have messed up or your excuses, you say, yes, I made a mistake. This, you know, Judge Wild makes a mistake every single night. I'm sure every single show, and when I go ahead and listen to the show again, if I ever do, I'm going to hear mistakes. If after the show, Wildcard and Nurse Flo want to beat on me for things I messed up in the show, talked over them, was rude to them, belittled them, whatever, bullied them, that they're going to beat on me for it. And I what do I do, Nurse Flo? Don't I usually say, oh, my goodness, I'm sorry?
Sure, you do that. You do that.
That's a regular part of my personality. That's what has me humble to go do the wonderful things in the community. Matter of fact, I'm honored to do the wonderful things in the community. It's not just a 1 hour or 2 hour thing. It's a lifestyle. And it's how I feel when I mess up on this show. And Susan Peters, you didn't handle it well when Judge Wild got on your case. You didn't handle it like a professional. You know, and a family member of yours, and I don't know if they're age or not, so I'm not even going to mention their name or pull them out, to male, female, et cetera. When they came on Facebook to defend Mommy, I thought it was a five-year-old. I honestly thought it was someone 5 to 8 years old defending Mommy. It was, she's been an anchor for so long, and she's good at her job, and da-da-da-da-da. It's like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's teach our children how to own up to things, how to not lean on some sort of reputation thing or some sort of good thing. I mess up all the time, no matter how good I am in the community, no matter how good of a person and number of hours I give to folks. It's from the heart. You know, and the time that I, well, never mind, going on me, but so, you know, you're the first people, the folks in the media, who should show sophistication and emotional intelligence. You know, that whatever. Just, you know, look at your life. If your first response is defensiveness, and then your second response when you're given another chance is defensiveness, and then your family member is on there whining about Mommy being such a professional. Why, you know, gosh, it wasn't a good moment. KFNW, KFN, is that what they are? WKFN? I don't know. KFNW, Anita Cochran,
KFNW.
Wonderful lady, wonderful, always was good on the internet, always was good at banter and all that good stuff, and I can't believe she left TV. I did not want to see her leave TV. I said she was, what is she doing, clothes designing or something now? I don't know. Don't take that on authority, but for me, it's just my opinion. I think it's something like that. She had great talent. I don't know why. Why would you leave it? For, I don't know, whatever it is you left it for. And Jamel, what's her last name? Halbuck, Halibrek, how something?
Jamel Halaperry, I think.
Holly Berry?
Halaperry.
Hall of whatever?
Jamel Halaperry.
I did not mean, it looks like 2 minutes I've had Wildcard on hold or something, or she had to call back in. Anyway, so here's the deal. She was wonderful. I've been in studio. I've been on TV with that Jamel, okay, right there in the studio of KSNW, and she was wonderful. A great sport, a wonderful, wonderful sport. Hold on, I said KSNW. Isn't Jamel Cake? I'm sorry. Jamel's Cake, right? Same as Susan Peters. Anyway, I don't care. You know, folks, if you know what stations are on, something's wrong with your life. I mean, Jamel, come on.
Yeah. Does it matter, really?
Yeah, does it matter, really? Come on, folks.
No.
If you know, you find that I think that's a virtue that I don't know for sure what station these people are on. I don't care. I just want to be better. I want everyone to be better. This is all done out of love and commitment for the town of Wichita, Kansas. Politicians and police. Okay, first of all, politicians, really quickly. If you're a moderate Republican, you're the problem. There are enough moderate Republicans and fake conservatives to make that town a better place. If you're trying to be a partial Democrat and a partial liberal and a partial conservative, or a partial liberal and a partial Republican, or partial, you know, you're ruining the town. You're compromising. You're compromising wholesome family values, so to speak. For some idea you have of being, let's all get along, or let's all not make waves, or let's not have the liberals hate us, or if we're ever going to do anything in this town, we're going to have to compromise our you know, you're not putting in these terms, but you're going to have to compromise your principles, principles that are deep, the family dinners, the teaching your kids at home. Not as in fully, but I'm saying teaching the kids at home things that you should teach at home, so at schools they could just teach them their academics. You know, if you're a moderate Republican and you have you're probably the ones who are thinking that you're a good person, and you fake conservatives, you too. You're thinking you're a good person because you do a few good things a year, and you aren't. You're phony. You're as bad as the liberals. You're still tearing down the town. Your kids are thinking, because you're a conservative, you call yourself a conservative and you think you're wonderful, that they think that they are wonderful and that they are doing the right things. But no, you compromised. You're not giving your kids the good solid foundation of principles to stand by. You're giving into the school sports. You're giving into the gymnastics classes. You're giving into the shallowness. You fake conservatives. You moderate Republicans you have enough votes to swing that town into wholesomeness. But you don't do it, and that's you. That's the way you want to be. That's the way you want your town to be. That's the way, evidently, you fight the true conservatives, and to what end? What end? What are you going to accomplish out of it? You're just going to be a liberal. So that's the only direction you're going.
More swing sets.
You're supposed to lead. You know, if you're a politician in a wholesome town, you don't give in to parents. You don't give in to big groups, Catholics. When you're a leader, you lead the town in wholesomeness and cleanliness and keeping big city influences that pull down wholesome towns. You kick those out. You keep them out. Now, that's what a leader does. Now, I know you have leaders there who own different businesses, different industries, and they get into elections, and yeah, they may try to say they're going to do something good for the community, and watch their other hand. Their other hand is passing laws that's protecting their business, their industry. Watch it carefully. It's happening, I know it, and I'm not going to say who. Brenda Landwehr, I like her. I like her. I like her hugs. She's anyone? She will leave the company of three or four high-powered people, supposedly the typical, traditional, stereotypical movers and shakers, to go give some regular person a hug. In these political events, she is real. Now, I don't know. Maybe some people have some stories that say where she is compromised. But I'm telling you, I like the lady. And thank you for those hugs. We have about 6 minutes in the show, and I tell you what, folks, my link is going to drop a little short of that, I think. Les Donovan, a wonderful person, great friend, Sissy Donovan, one of your most cherished contributors to that town, most loved contributors to that town. Rest in peace. Love her very much. Special, special person to me in my life. And Les, of course. Obviously, those folks are genuine, wonderful people. And some folks may have other ideas. I don't know. I'm just telling you my experience with them. Mario Goyko, if you don't like Mario Goyko, that's, you know, blame me. Blame me for Mario Goyko. If you don't like his accent, blame me. If you don't like some things he does in politics, blame me. I'm the one who gave him his very first contribution for his first public office. When he announced and he told me personally that he had just come back from registering, and that he, you know, I said, I want to be the first. And as a friend, I was supportive, and I gave him his first $50 in the campaign, and his very first, not on his second campaign or his next or whatever, his very, very first one. And, you know, folks, I'm sorry. If there are things about him you don't like, I'm going to say right here, right now, I like him. And I appreciate Susan. I appreciate the Thanksgiving dinners. I appreciate them. They're genuine. It's, hey, Judge Wild, good to see you. They're not just, you know, they know whose hand they have to shake as well, but they're also genuine people. And that's what I want to tell you, Joe McLeland. I think you have more work to do in that area. I think you're doing a great job. I know you have focus. I know you know whose hand you have to shake. I know you have to work that. That's part of it. I get it. I know it. But yeah, there's got to be some more personal touch as well. And that's my advice for Joe McLeland. I wish you the best. I wish you continued success in all your politics. But my goodness, you know, there's wheelers and dealers, but there's be a real person all the time with real people. And the scent of political ambition is not a good thing. You know, the scent of political ambition. You can rise by being real with the real people. And we have about 4 minutes left. I'm really hoping that my link holds up here for 4 minutes. Lynn Rogers, school board. I don't get you. I do. Matter of fact, I do get you. I think I get you. This is all opinion, not bad. This is, you know, I just have a challenge for you, Lynn Rogers. And that is, don't be such a parent. Don't be such a buying into that there's not enough money in the school. Be brave. Be more like the early Carl Peterjohn was. Be more of willing to stand up and say we don't need this and we don't need that in the schools. Stand up to the parents. Say we don't need support. Try to cut something out. Don't try to have the schools be everything to everyone. This is not a recreation and leisure place. This is a school. This is a focus thing. Remember, a hunting dog. When you take them out in the field to go hunting, you don't want them playing with their squeezy toy. You want them focused on hunting. With the kids in the school, it's not playtime at school. It is serious business, and the money that we entrust to parents, that the singles out there, that the childless people have out there, that give to parents, Lynn Rogers, you're in charge of it. You can't go spending and continuing to spend on sports. And that goes for you, Lenora Nolan. You're a wonderful person. I've served with you at Wilbur Middle School on things. And you can't be the stereotypical parent. You can't say, well, the parents called in and I said this. Well, I had several calls this week, and that's not good enough. You need to be a good steward. And that means having the kids focused. And I know Lenora Nolan, I believe anyway, all this is just my opinion. And I care about these folks being successful in what they're trying to do if what they're trying to do is get kids educated. And I think I've heard her say that. And you know, she showed up at the schools. But I don't want people showing up at the schools or at the school board so they can continue spending money on the kids of Wichita, Kansas for recreation in their schools. If the Catholic schools want to have their kids do that, fine. But the public schools are public, and they should be focused on academics and academics only. And if you say they learn better by having this other stuff, I invite Lynn Rogers to have a real conversation, because Lynn, face-to-face with you, when I've tried to have real conversations with you, you didn't know how to have one. We have 60 seconds, ladies. I'm going to see what's in the notes. You got to have an attitude of engaging the public, Lynn Rogers, and if they have a different idea than you, if they don't want swimming pools in the high schools, then you need to stand there and have a real conversation about it. It's part of your responsibility, especially as school board president. You have to do it, brother. You can't just walk away. You can't just ignore that there's a whole part of that society in Wichita that are paying taxes, that don't have kids in school, that have their money. I talked about Lenora. I mentioned Carol, period of John. In the last 30 seconds, I want to say, Bill Gale, you're wonderful. You're a wonderful person. You've done awesome things with the city government, and you've cared about the people, the community, and what you've done with the offices you've held. We're done, ladies, for this show. Thank you, Wildcard. Thank you, Nurse Flo. And we're going to do this again next show. I'll put it on Facebook when we're going to do the next What's Wrong with Wichita show. I really don't want to. I want to move on to other things, but there's a lot of things to talk about the schools and the money, the divorced women in our town, the churches, the local talk radio, and Ted Woodward, stick in there. Talk at you later, ladies.
Thanks for listening to the Judge Wild Show. And be friends with Judge Wild on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Blogspot. Say goodbye now.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.